another episode of Streamed and Screened, an entertainment podcast about movies and TV from Lee Enterprises. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee and co-host of the program with Bruce Miller, longtime entertainment reporter and someone who's abandoning me for a week because he's going on vacation.
I'm going to New York.
New York.
You're staying at New York City.
New York City?
Yeah, every year. Every year I have gone to New York around this time to see the shows that are nominated for Tonys, and I've done it for 40-some years. Can you believe that? So I can go back to those old days when Cats actually was a new show.
Oh, boy.
And yeah, I saw it back then, and it's back this year as Cats the Jellicle Ball.
Oh.
It's fascinating how many revivals, and I saw the original Ragtime. That's back this year as a revival. That I saw originally. Now, I can't say that I saw the original Death of a Salesman, but I did see a number of Death of a Salesman versions after that first one. But if, for me, it's, you know, it's one of those things. If you work in this kind of business, it's one of those things that I really enjoy because you see it at a level that you don't get anywhere else. And I'm sure you noticed this when you were in New York not too long ago, that the quality of the shows is better. I'm sorry, kids. It really is. They're better. The people are there for a reason because it's their job.
Mm-hmm.
The theaters are smaller, so you feel like you're in kind of in a closed environment where you're a part of this whole thing. And it's at the top level of production.
Absolutely.
The sets are great. The costumes are great. The sound and music is great. All those things are at the, so for me, it's one of those things where I love to see because I want to say I saw it at its best.
Right.
And then when I see it, when it comes here, I at least know what I have to compare it to.
Right. I, you know, and nothing against the traveling versions. The traveling versions are great because it gives you an opportunity to see it's the same show just on the road. But the difference is you get the higher production value because the sets are basically permanent, you know? So, I mean, as long as you have a residency, and some of those shows have been there for, you know, like Lion King has been on Broadway forever. I mean, they, so the sets, maybe they make tweaks here and there, clean things up, do a fresh paint job every once in a while, but it's, they're built into the stage. You can build these things into the mechanics of the stage. So you get that higher value.
Yeah. They're not tearing it apart in a week.
Right.
And putting in a truck and sending it somewhere else, it's there for good.
Right. And you have to get the And the traveling versions have to get creative with how they approach certain things, especially if you've got a lot of mechanics to some of these shows. And the other piece of it too, you know, you go to the traveling versions of the show, and they're good actors. There's nothing wrong with these actors. And you'll look at the playbill and you'll see like, oh, you know, this person played a small role on CSI, maybe had a bit role on this, maybe did a voiceover for The Simpsons, whatever. The difference, though, is when you go on to a Broadway, you may see an actor who also has a Grammy Award in the past, maybe was nominated for an Oscar. You know, it's like you're getting like true A-listers. It's the folks who you've seen them in movies and TVs as leads, and they also have passion for the theater because that's where they ultimately got their start in most cases. So it's a way to kind of fill the void in between, you know, TV runs or a movie or whatever. So you're getting the A-listers at their best. And in some cases too, you know, you go to these shows, like I went to see Hadestown, and sitting just below us was Ben Affleck and his kid. I mean, you don't see that going to the Overture in Madison, Wisconsin.
A lot of times too, actors want to say they tried Broadway, and you'll get somebody who's a big star. George Clooney did it last year. And they want to try it out. So here's your chance to see them. It also is a way for the theaters to kind of have a built-in audience.
Yeah.
Because if we have a name star,
mm-hmm.
if Brad Pitt showed up and wanted to do a show, they know they would get a certain amount of the money back because people want to just see Brad Pitt, no matter how good or bad he could be.
Yep.
But, and this year we've got ones like that too. Rose Byrne is in a show on Broadway. Carrie Coon is in a show on Broadway.
Right.
there are ones like that that fill the bill. And the Tony Awards are coming up. Wouldn't it be great to have a Tony Award on your mantle? One who got one a few years ago is back this year and is nominated again, and that's Daniel Radcliffe. Mm. Now, you remember him as Harry Potter.
Right.
But people want to see Harry Potter do something else, and he's been very loyal to Broadway. I think it's every beautiful thing that he's doing this year on Broadway. It's a one-man show. Mariska Hargitay is replacing him after the Tony Awards. So you get, you know, there's an audience there for all of that. What's interesting about this year's Tony Awards is the nominees. There is no front runner. There's nobody that they say is right. definitely going to win. You just, you have to see, you know how with the year Hamilton was big and everybody had to see Hamilton. You got to see Hamilton. There's no show like that this year. Ragtime is one of those that's popular, but it's a revival. Ticket prices, I spent upwards of $300 a ticket just to see this because it's going to win a lot of things. But it's not that, it's not hard to get the tickets. You just have to pay for the tickets that are going to be paying through the nose. But there are some different things to see. There's a revival of the Rocky Horror Show.
Okay.
It is supposedly kind of fun. Rachel Dratch is in it.
Oh, wow.
She, the narrator for the show, okay. Nominated for a Tony. But Cats the Jellicle Ball. Now, this is a real weird concept because he decided to set it in one of those drag clubs.
Yeah.
And they're doing the characters. It's like doing RuPaul's Drag Race tied with Cats. And it's gotten huge, huge reviews. This is not something that you would go, oh, I want to go see that, because it doesn't sound like that. But people tell you once you see it, you're going to be just blown over. Then Schmigadoon, if you remember, this was on Apple TV Plus, where
right.
it was kind of a spoof of Broadway musicals of the 50s. And mm-hmm. they've turned it into a Broadway musical of the 2026s. And people say it works really well.
Oh, good.
An old movie, Lost Boys, is going to be a huge contender, 12 nominations. And they have people playing the character that Kiefer Sutherland played.
Oh,
so
wow. Yeah.
It's, well, how does it play out? Who knows? But it's just such a crapshoot this year. You can't go and say, I want to make sure I go see fill in the blank because Phantom's not there. You know, any of those big ones, they're not there anymore. But I'm sure when you went there too, there is an excitement. People always say, I can't afford the tickets. You can. There
yes.
is a place called TKTS, which is in Times Square, and you can get cheaper price tickets. And I want to warn people that if you go to New York, and I always know people that they say, oh, we've got to go to New York, got to go. Do not buy your tickets at your hotel.
Right.
There will be a ticket box at the hotel, but the markup is so high that is it going to kill you to stand in line to buy a ticket for half price?
Right.
I think not. And I think you really should check that out because you'll have most shows on that. And I would pick something that's the biggest, splashiest thing I could find. I would not pick. There's a show called Two Strangers Carry a Cake across New York. I mean, it's cute, but it's two characters.
Yeah.
And are you going to spend that and that be your big show? I don't know. It could be. But I would go for something that had a little flash in it because that's what I want to see. And then I could say I was at a Broadway show.
Right. Yeah. And you know, the other thing too, and this is the big difference with the traveling versions that come to your city or Broadway is that, you know, when they come to your town, they're there for a week, maybe 2 weeks. Occasionally you'll get a longer run if it's like a really hot musical and maybe it'll be there for 3 weeks. I remember the first time Lion King traveled, it came to Appleton, Wisconsin and had like a month long residency and they, you know, pretty much sold out every show. But you know, when you're talking about Broadway, these are shows they have, you know, what, like 7 performances a week. You do have a couple of matinees along the way. They're there every day for, you know, 12 months out of the year, basically. You're going to be able, unless it's a really short run or it's a super, super hot thing, you know, like we're talking about, you'll get those occasional ones. I'm trying to think of a good, like a Hamilton at its peak.
Hamilton,
right?
It's been the biggest thing in the last how many years?
Right. Like that's a different beast where, yeah, you pretty much need to buy tickets in advance and you're probably going to pay for through the roof to get them. That is the exception to the rule here. I mean, you go to that ticket booth. You can buy something at the last minute. Don't be picky. The theaters, they're all small. There's no bad seats.
Yeah, wherever you sit, it's probably going to be good. Even in the balcony is good.
Yep.
So don't worry about that. Another thing people don't really kind of lean into here is stage dooring. And after the show, they will maybe come out and sign your program and talk to you, take a selfie if you want that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't be so kind of like, I demand this and you owe this to me. They don't. That's not part of the performance. That's not what they're paying for. But you do see some shows where they go overboard. The Outsiders, because it has a large teen cast, a young man in the show, will get a huge crowd of young girls who are out there and who kind of want them to spend time with them. And you want to just scream. You think they don't owe you anything. So be polite. Don't ask for the moon. Don't bring everything to them. And in the case of somebody, Daniel Radcliffe is very, very good at greeting the public, but he doesn't want a bunch of Harry Potter fans coming around, not going to the show. And they will make you show your ticket that you were at his show to be able to have an encounter with him or have him sign your program.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like to sign Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a chance to see him up close. And I remember doing this back in the 70s where you'd see them come out the door and it was kind of like, oh, this is really cool. I just saw you on stage and now I'm seeing you in the real, and then they walk down the street and go get lunch or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a different thing. It's a nice kind of add-on if you think about it, but don't expect it because it doesn't always happen. But sometimes they're very good and they're eager to do that for you.
Yeah, when I saw Hadestown a couple months back, when we went, it was just a week or two after they changed the cast over. And at least two of the cast members came out, were signing programs, were taking pictures with fans. They were very generous with their time. I think the key thing there, and you hinted on this a little bit with the, you know, don't bring the Harry Potter stuff to get signed. Just have them sign your playbill, right? You know, or if you bought a poster at the show, see if they'll sign your poster, that kind of thing. When you start bringing, you know, extra things with you,
then you didn't want to see a show.
Right. They see the ulterior motives. Like, there's a difference between signing a half rolled up playbill for you than signing something else, which they can clearly tell you're just going to drop on eBay later that night. Right. You know, and that's what it is. Yeah.
You know, I've stood in line because there are posters that I want signed and I'm real good at getting that. But I've stood near people who, it was one show where one of the actors said to the person next to me, you were using a camera in the show and I do not appreciate that. I want you to stop that. I mean, he told him off. And I thought, wow, this is, watch out. The encounter could be coming back on you if you really don't play the game. But you can't do that. And that's another thing. Don't take pictures during the production. At the end, they usually let you do it during the curtain call.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't put the camera up there and say, oh, I've got to document this, because you don't. And I got mad at one woman next to me who was like shooting pictures during the whole thing. Like she was the unit photographer for the show. And I said, you can't do that. And she says, what do you mean? I said, we don't take pictures in the show. It's disconcerting for people around you. And she was from another country. She said, oh, I didn't know. I said, you can take them at the end, but do not take them during the show. And right. She put her camera away, but I thought, wow, is this not printed somewhere? I think it is.
Yeah.
So,
They usually announce it. Like, please silence and put away your cell phones, right?
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, it not me. No, that's how
right.
that goes.
It goes, it counts, it's for everybody, but not me. You know, it's interesting, too, you talk about, like, the actors having very much awareness. I ran into this one time. the sports world where I went to a minor league stadium and they invited a retired baseball player to come and sign autographs. And he was a fairly prominent major leaguer. I mean, not, you know, I don't think he was ever an all-star or anything like that, but he was a really good role player. And his name was Joe McEwing. And he was kind of a popular player because he was a scrappy guy, right? Everybody loves like the workman type of player who, you know, he can play every position. They called him Super Joe because, you know, you can play him at basically every single position. I think he might have even been their emergency catcher if the two catchers got hurt.
If you needed somebody, they pulled him in.
They would just put him in. But he had this like knack for heroics where he would just go in as a pinch hitter and get a big hit off of somebody. And I went to a game one time where he was playing. And this is, of course, back in the day where you got physical tickets to events, right? You know, not everything was digital. And he gets up to bat and he smashes a home run off of future Hall of Fame pitcher Randy Johnson. Randy Johnson, if you know of him, he was a left-handed pitcher. He stood 6'10", right? The man was huge.
Oh, my God.
And he threw hard. Like, he was one of the hardest throwing pitchers of all time, 100-plus mile per hour fastball. One of the most difficult guys to get a hit off of ever. And Joe McEwing gets up and hits a pinch hit home run off of Randy Johnson. The place goes nuts. Everybody's going crazy. And he, you know, Super Joe rises again, right? I go to the signing and I handed him a ticket stub and he looks at the ticket stub and he says, Randy Johnson, right? He knows, he knew the date. Like, he could see New York Mets versus Arizona Diamondbacks. And he looks at it and he says, like, home run against Randy Johnson. I'm like, yes, it is. So they know, they remember these things. And they, you know, and that's a moment too. Like, he knows I'm just a fan, right? I went to another thing one time. It was at another minor league stadium. They bring in, you know, an ex ball player. The player's name was Daryl Boston. And he was a fairly solid outfielder, had a fairly long major league career. Kind of a guy you'd refer to him as the fourth outfielder, right? You know, he's the guy that, you know, he might play 3 or 4 days a week. He gives a guy a day off. He comes in late in the game as a defensive replacement. Maybe he doesn't start a lot of games, but, you know, he's a solid ball player. And he had his longest run probably with the White Sox. That's why he was at the stadium, because it used to be a Chicago White Sox affiliate. But I, you know, I go up and I handed him something to sign, like a baseball card or something to sign. And I said, oh, I really loved you when you played for the Mets, because I'm a Mets fan. And he looks at me like, stop screwing around with me. Because he played like one fairly unmemorable season with the Mets. It's not like he was there very long. And I'm like, and then I showed him my watch and it had the Mets logo on it. And he looked at it and he says, I was like, oh, okay. Like, he thought I was pulling his chain. Yeah. He thought I was messing with him because he played 1 year at the Mets and who remembers it. And it wasn't a bad year. He was a solid fourth outfielder for him, but he realized I actually was a Mets fan. And then he knew, like, yes, I clearly knew who he was and appreciated his time. So little things like that.
You know, it's funny. Now I'm segueing back to Broadway.
Yes.
When you're with those people in the stage door, you can ask them questions and they'll be glad to answer a question. In fact, they kind of look forward to that instead of having somebody just fawning over them about, oh my God, you're my favorite actress. I just love you. You're just the greatest person. Are you really sure? Because if Meryl Streep showed up here, would you say that same thing to her? Or would you just say, no, this third stringer from this show I'm watching is my favorite player ever? I don't know.
Yeah.
But they, and I love to ask them about the Tony Awards, because they'll tell you in advance what numbers they're going to do on the Tony Awards, who they'd thank if they won, you know, what they've done with the nomination certificate, where that goes. I mean, there's something there that you can enjoy. But if you've never been to New York, this is my advice: go to Broadway. You can always go to a game, and I know you will. I know you'll go to a Mets game, but I think people need to see Broadway, not to necessarily say that you've seen the best, But to give you a point of comparison with the local shows you might see in your community, because there is a difference, and you can see why these people are aiming for a career in this.
Right.
Because this represents the best of the best.
Yes.
And it's always fun to see that. And who wouldn't like to say, I saw a Broadway show?
Right. It's a totally different experience. You need to get there if you can get there. Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you all for listening, and we'll be back again next week with another episode of Streamed and Screened.